speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, in our obedience to Christ, some amazing things happen in heaven. God forgives us of sin. Every single one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that sin separates us from God. But whenever we are planted with Christ in the likeness of His death in baptism and raised, God forgives us, counts us then as His children, adds us unto His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And friends, as a result of that, then we have hope not only of the relationship that we have with God now, but we have hope of an eternal life in heaven with our God someday. But you know, there are also some expectations that God places upon each and every one of us. As Christians, God wants us to live holy. In the original language, the word holy is hagios. And that word holy is oftentimes used or employed to speak in reference to God. God is holy. God is pure. God is without any sin. And God calls upon us to be holy. Why? Because He Himself is holy. The word holy and what God expects us to be is closely akin to another thing that I want to explain this morning, and that is God wants us to be sanctified. In order for us to be holy, we must be sanctified. And to be sanctified literally means to be set apart. Friends, we live in the world, and the world is a sinful world. The world is an ungodly place whenever we think in regard to the focus of most people. And God understands that, and He also wants you and me to understand this. And as we would look to our relationship or association with the world, we live in the world, but friends, God tells us that we must not be as the world. And therefore, we need to separate ourselves to that level so that we are not partakers of the world. And as a result of our sanctification, then God also calls upon us to be Christ-like, to live as close to being like Christ during the time in which we are here. Why? Because someday we will stand before our God and our Creator to be judged because of our deeds, our works, but also because of our words. Everything that we do in life will be taken under consideration and judged whenever we stand before the great I Am. But friends, when we think in regard to the things that we do in life, we also need to understand that the things that we say in life will also be brought forth in the day of judgment. What about profanity? How does God feel whenever individuals uses things that would be constituted or defined as profane? What is profanity? I want to explain, to begin with, what profanity really and truly is, and then also to explain it from the context of Scripture. To begin with, when we think in regard to what constitutes profanity, friends, we need to understand that taking the Lord's name in vain, in a disrespectful manner, would be constitute a profane language. Well, what does it mean? So many people today live in a state where that they do not find anything at all wrong with cursing. But also, one thing that really agitates me is not only to hear people curse, to say foul words, but also then whenever they will employ God's name as a part of the profane things that they are saying. Whenever they will say God's word or God's name as a part of a foul word that they are using in their conversation with people. That is indeed constituted as profane language from a biblical standpoint. But also I want to identify is that whenever people will use God's word out of context, they will use His word. They will use His name, either the name of God or the name of Christ, whenever they are caught off guard or whenever they are caught by surprise. And they will utter the name of God or the name of Christ in a general sense such as that. And the Bible identifies to us as that is profane language. We must use God's name in a respectable way. And anything outside of that, friends, would be profane language in the usage of our Lord's name. And Israel, in the Old Testament Scripture, were warned about that. And in like figure, God warns His people today, in the Christian age, that we must not use God's name in vain. But also, when we think in regard to identifying, describing what profane language is, It is speaking language that society deems to be vile or vulgar. It is saying words of profanity or cursing. But not only whenever an individual might involve themselves in cursing in like figure, it would also be that if they're involved in the telling or the receiving of dirty jokes, or even using substitute words such as what we would identify today as euphemism. Those things would be identified from a biblical standpoint as profane language in the sight of our God. But also, there's another area that sometimes we do not think about. Whenever we think about profane language, sometimes we fail to understand that whenever we speak words that are condescending, words that would put someone down, is that God would identify that usage or that type of language also as profane language in His sight. Friends, when we think in regard to the world in which we live in, we should not be surprised, but yet at the same time we are shocked, I think, when we think about how that the world looks about profanity. If you go all the way back to the 1950s and 1960s, seldom would you find people using profane language in public. In fact, there used to be certain words that were not able to be used on television or on radio. And today, it seems as if they can use whatever they want to say whatever comes to mind without having any consequence to that. In fact, over the years until the point of where we are today, the usage of profane language in a public manner has risen some 800%. That within itself is appalling. Yet at the same time, a meager 57% of Americans, I did not find statistics from a world standpoint, but rather I want us to think about what's going on right here in our nation, here in the United States. 57% of Americans, only 57% of Americans are offended by people using profane language. Well, what does that mean, that they're offended? It means that they're uncomfortable with people using that type of language in their presence. But also, amongst those 57%, only a handful of people in that uncomfortable state were willing to speak out and to tell people, do not use this type of language in my presence. Well, what about church-going people? Some 37% of church people say that it's morally acceptable to use profanity in your everyday conversation. Friends, I hope and pray that amongst our group is that we do not have, or that we're not a part of that 37%. But yet at the same time, I want to be real and to say is that likely there are individuals even within our hearing today, both from the television as well as here present with us, who would use profane language in their everyday walk of life. And yet as a preacher, I want to say is that it's very few and far between, but still, from time to time, I am very shocked to hear people that I have known to employ things that God would clearly identify would be sinful in His sight. For instance, last week I stopped at a yard sale and I bought two gas containers for a dollar. I think I got the buy of the day, or at least at that yard sale. And I'm walking back out to the vehicle, and this individual that I know that I've seen before, not a member of this congregation, but a member of the Lord's church, he hollers at me and says, "Hey, buddy, come over here." And I went over and he says, "Did you buy those gas tanks here?" And I said, "I sure did." He said, "What did you give for them?" And I said, $1 apiece. And he says, "You're blanking me." And I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." And then he went on to say, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" And I said, "Well, you look familiar to me." And I said, "I preach at East End Church of Christ." And he said, "Well, I'm a member of such and such a congregation, and I listen to you on radio and television." Friends, I was taken back to think that this individual has just used profanity in my presence, identifying that I am a preacher of the gospel. That's where we are, not only as a world, but friends, that's where we are even, sadly, in the Lord's church. When we think in regard to profanity, how does God feel about it? The Bible tells us very clearly that God holds man accountable if we misuse His name in vain. For those who will use God's name conjoined with foul language, God will hold us accountable for that if we engage in that type of behavior. For individuals who will use God's name out of context, Whenever there is a prize, they're caught off guard and they will employ the usage of God's or Christ's name. As a result of that, God will hold those individuals accountable whenever they stand before Him in judgment. But also, the Bible identifies to us is that our words will either justify or condemn us before God. Now, I want us to understand to begin with is that we cannot be justified to begin with as an alien sinner before God based out of our words. That's not what's under consideration here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But rather, as Christians, if we will speak in a godly way, we shall stand justified before God. Also, though our life must come in line with that same type of behavior. But if our words are that which is not proper, if we use profanity, if we take the Lord's name in vain, if we say things that are condescending or putting individuals down, then God says that we shall stand condemned before Him whenever we stand before Him in the final judgment. Friends, profane language must never be used by God's children. God makes that very clear. And as an individual who years ago had problems with saying foul words, I was living a hypocritical life during those years, way back when. An individual who claimed to be a Christian but still at the same time was not living right. I stand on this side saying that putting those words out of your mind and out of your usage, out of your language, can be challenged, but friends, it can also be accomplished. God does not want His children, God does not permit His children to use profane language and still be counted as one of His faithful children. Why do people use profane language? Why do people curse? Why do people take God's name in vain? Why would people say things that are not true or things that would hurt other individuals that would be constituted as profane language? I believe to begin with, we're dealing with a serious heart problem. In fact, the Bible identifies in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verses 17 through 21 is that individuals who have a heart condition, and I'm not talking about a physical heart condition, but rather a spiritual heart problem where that they're not fully focused on God. Where that they not only do they not love God to the level that they ought to love Him, but also do they not love their fellow man to that same level that God expects us to love our fellow man. These individuals have a heart problem, and as a result of that heart condition, they'll just let their words fly. And friends, I believe with all my heart that if we will love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength as God commands us to, and love our neighbor as ourselves, is that we will be well on our way of getting our language in order. But also, from time to time, people find themselves in an uncomfortable situation that will bring back old habits. And take into consideration in the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74 and following, Simon Peter, one of the apostles, this individual had told Jesus that he would dare to die for Him. And I believe that he meant what he said. Why? Because whenever the soldiers came to arrest him, he pulls out his sword and he strikes at Malchus and he cuts off his ear. He was willing to stand for the Lord. But then, whenever the Lord is presented and paraded before the trial, whenever he's put on trial and they bring these bogus charges against him, and Peter's outside around the fire, if you would, with the individuals, and they're trying to accuse him of being one of the disciples of the Lord, the Bible tells us that they said that he was one of his disciples because of the way in which he conducted himself. And what did Peter do? He was in an uncomfortable situation. And he began to curse, the Scripture tells us. And friends, I tell you that I believe that Peter was not alone. We have a lot of people today who will find themselves in those uncomfortable situations where that maybe they get hurt and they will lash out and say something they should not say. And maybe they will be in the presence of their peers, kids at school, or maybe others at work. And that's just what's going on around and about us. And therefore, if we're not engaging in that, we're uncomfortable. We don't fit in. And friends, life is not about fitting in. It's not always about being comfortable, but rather it's always about doing the things that glorify God and the things that would identify us as a child of God. A friendship with the lost may bring a negative influence. And for this reason, friends, you and I, as members of the Lord's church, we need to be very careful whenever it comes to the people that we will have as our friends in life. And I realize, and God knows, even beyond what I understand, is that we live in this world and we have friends that we make who are not members of the church, and in part that's a way in which we're reaching out to the world, but still we've got to be very careful about allowing ourselves to get so close to these individuals who are not members of the kingdom, who do not have the same morals and ethics as what we have. Why? Because even though we're striving to influence them, they also may have that influence, that negative, ungodly influence upon us. And oftentimes that's the case when it comes to profane language. If we're around that type of an environment, that type of a situation, chances are is that it's only going to be a matter of time before they will rub off on us. And brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful whenever it comes to the people that we hang out with in this world. What does the Bible say about profanity? Is profanity really and truly a sin? Or is it as the world says, and even as some Christians say, it's morally acceptable? Is that the case? Or does God say explicitly that it is indeed a sin? Friends, the Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37, that every idle word and foolish talk and coarse jesting, that these things are identified as sin. And when we think about the context of what we have identified from the Bible that God would say is profane language in His sight, these areas that are identified here in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37, are covered under what God says is indeed profane language. And when God says that these things are sin, then we need to understand that profane language, no matter on what level or which area we are using it in, it is seen as sin in the sight of our God. But also, the Bible tells us that every evil word that people use to belittle others would be constituted as sin. James chapter 3 and verse 9. James says so much to us. Practical lessons. A beautiful book to read and to study from. And in fact, I want to encourage you to read and to study from it on a continual basis. Why? Because he deals with so many areas of life that you and I face that can help us in our pursuit to live faithful before God. In James chapter 3, he talks about the tongue. And the tongue, that it can be like a forest fire. That it begins as a little flame, and then before we know it, it's burning out of control. And James tells us time and again in that immediate context of James chapter 3, verses 2 and following, is that we need to be people who are aware of what our tongue is doing. And also we need to bring it under control. We need to bring it to where that we are going to use it to the glory of God's name. And that if we will use it unleashed in this world towards people, is that we will tear people to shreds. And in doing so, that is sin in the sight of our God. But also, we need to understand that euphemisms are the devil's sinful substitutes. When I had a problem years ago with cursing, I said, well, I know what I'll do is I'll substitute it. And I got to where I was substituting the words. And Brother Bob Stapleton was our preacher at that time. This was back in the early 1990s. And I was around Brother Stapleton and I let one of these euphemisms go around him. There, didn't really think anything about it. And he said, what did you just say? And I repeated it. He said, no. Kevin, you can't do that. And then he got up and he preached on euphemisms. And I thought, whew, brother. A substitute is not any better than the actual. It's the context of what we're saying. And we've got to understand that God looks at, God knows our heart, and God sees then what it is that we're using and the way that we're using that. And friends, you and I need to stay completely clear of using those substitute words or euphemisms. and to understand that the devil is behind those, and the devil would seek to justify those things in our mind. How does God expect His children to talk? Children of God, Christians, must refrain from using ungodly language. God wants us to control our lives. To begin with, He wants control of our life. But He wants us to understand that in order for Him to control our life, we've got to take the reins and to say, I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to speak like the world talks. I'm going to make sure that my words are indeed in line with what would represent our God the greatest, as well as not only that we'll speak well about God, but also then that we'll glorify and bring honor to Him through the church of which I am a part of. We not only represent ourselves, but friends, we also represent the body of Christ, the church here at East End on a local sense, but also we represent the church of Christ on a universal level. And therefore, we need to control, to refrain from using ungodly language because of our soul, but also because of that which we represent as a child of God. How does it begin? How will we be able to accomplish that? By retraining the mind to live in a more Christ-like manner. It begins in the mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. Retrain the mind to think like Christ. Retrain the mind to think like Christians are supposed to think. Why the mind? What's so important about changing the way in which we think about things? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's what we have in our mind that will come out in our life. And if we will begin by retraining the mind to say, I want to live for God 100% of the time. And I want to speak in a way that will glorify Him. I want to live, I want to walk in a way that will please Him and that will shine as a light into the lost world. And if we start thinking about these things on an ongoing basis, every single day, 24 hours a day, and somebody says, I sleep during that, you'll also sleep about those things and dream about those things. Trust me. I'm like that and I'm not alone, I know. To be Christ-like, retraining the mind that will redirect our lives and our words, friends, our words must always be seasoned with grace. Not only should we refrain from the usage of profanity, but whenever we say things, we need to make sure that we say things in a way that will please God and that will also help to win souls to the Lord. Profanity. So many people have a problem with it. And sadly, many Christians also struggle with it. And this morning, if you're dealing with profanity in your everyday life or even on an occasional basis, know that we will be praying for you. We'll be praying that you will desire to stop that. We will be praying that you will indeed have the courage and the strength to stand and to stop using that type of language in your life. But this morning, too, if you've come to that realization to see that this has separated you from God, or if anything else has separated you from God, we want to invite you with the Lord's invitation, and we will pray with you and for you. It may be also that we have those who are not members of the body of Christ with us this morning, and if you're here and you want to become a Christian, we want you to become a Christian as God wants you to. He gave His Son to that very end, and therefore we invite you that you might confess Christ and submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come.